Turn your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse 38. Have you ever met someone that just seemed like that they had a close walk with the Lord? Have you had the privilege to meet someone and it seemed as though they were just head and shoulders above everybody else when it came to spiritual things? I've had that privilege in my life, and I feel quite blessed because of it. There are fewer people like that in the world. I had a great aunt, Aunt Gracie. You probably heard me talk about her on numerous occasions, and she just had a phenomenal walk with the Lord. She had a tattered Bible, and she was a very spiritual lady. She was poorer than dirt, but she just loved the Lord, and nothing bothered her. She just had a close walk with the Lord. She was a holy woman, a holy lady, and I'm thankful for the privilege of knowing her. And you know, it seems as though those people learn to abide at the feet of Jesus just about all of their lives. Ever since they got saved, they just had a close walk with Him. And there are many examples that we not only have in our lives, but there are many examples of people like that in the Scriptures. I'm convinced and I believe that after Jesus died on the cross, that He rose again on the third day, that He ascended to heaven. He was seated at the right hand of the Father, this enthroned Jesus Christ, that we still can have a close walk with Him. That we still can abide at His feet. That it's possible for us to abide at the feet of Jesus. I mean, the Hebrew writer said, "Let us all come to the throne of grace." Well, who occupies the throne of grace? Jesus Christ. In a spiritual sense, in a spiritual way, we can still find our way to the feet of Jesus Christ. I thought about the man who was possessed of demons. We read in the 8th chapter of Luke about this man. And after that, he was healed and he was forgiven and he was relieved of his demon possession. We find him in verse 35 sitting at the feet of Jesus. After you get saved, that's where you need to be. You need to be seated at the feet of Jesus. Too many young Christians don't find their way to the feet of Jesus after they get saved. They get caught up in the things of the world, but it's important for all Christians to abide at the feet of Jesus. I guess of all the examples that we find in the Scriptures, there's one lady that stands out above the others. Every time she is mentioned in the Scriptures, she is at the feet of Jesus. She's mentioned three times, and in all three accounts, she is at the feet of Jesus Christ. So she's a wonderful example that we can learn from. We can also be at the feet. Let's read these Scriptures. Now, this lady's name was Mary. She had another sister by the name of Martha and a brother by the name of Lazarus. I remember reading a long time ago, and this just came to mind because of the triplet's birthday, that I think it was one of the church fathers, and I don't know where he got this. He was just a commentary of sorts, but he believed that they were triplets. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I don't know if there's no scriptural evidence that I know of that sustains that. Just thought I'd throw that out there as supposition. In verse 38, we notice that Jesus Christ was passing by, and it says as he went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat, this is verse 39, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about with many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That's reading verses 38 through verse 42 of the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I want us to learn as we go through some of these places where Mary is at the feet of Jesus, the things that she acquires, the things that she does, things that you can experience if you're at the feet of Jesus Christ. Obviously, in contrast to her sister, Mary was in a place of stillness. Martha was troubled. She was anxious. She was going here and doing this. She was just like a chicken with its head cut off, just running around the kitchen. But Mary was still and at peace at the feet of Jesus. Martha, she opened up her home for Jesus to come in. But Mary opened up her heart. Martha, she was laboring, but Mary was listening. She found a place of stillness at the feet of Jesus. And I believe that we also need to experience this, especially today. We need to experience the stillness at the feet of Jesus. There's a calmness there. There's a peace there that you can't find anywhere else. It's a place where you forget your cares. Where the cares of this life just vanish away. There's a peace and a stillness that she found there. Martha was cumbered, the Bible says here in this reading lesson. She was distracted. She was driven. She was anxious. She was worried about all the things that needed to be done while Jesus was there. But Mary was just simply sitting and absorbing his presence. She was listening. And folks, there are times in our life, especially over the last year and the upcoming year, we need to take an inventory and evaluate, have we spent enough time at the feet of Jesus? In prayer, in the study of His Word. Now here in this reading lesson, she was listening to His words. Okay, I think that's very important, as we'll get to that a little later. But when we're reading the Scriptures, we can have our burdens relieved, just like John said. He was anxious about his wife having cancer, but he was studying the Word of God, and the Word of God spoke to him and helped him and gave him strength and comfort and consolation and peace. Because I assure you, all the promises of God's Word will help you, give you that peace. Oh, we have many wonderful, precious promises in the Word of God that we can rely on. You know, the burdens of this life, the burdens today, I mean, you know, we have to put food on the table and clothes on our back, and we have to pay our bills, and there's the electric bill and the house bill and the car bill, and we've just got all these different things that seem to be distracting us and causing great anxiety and great worry. We are some of the most anxious people that ever lived on the face of the earth. Our minds and our hearts are flooded with worldliness and things of this world. You know, Jesus taught about the Word of God and about how powerful it is. But He says, in the souls of men, there are many things that can distract from the truth of God's Word. He talked about the sower that goes forth to sow in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And He particularly talked about the seed being the Word of God. The thing that can relieve you of anxiety and of trouble, that those things that you need to hear that will help you. Listen, I'm going to just make this statement because it's very important. Hearing the Word of God is the most important thing you do all week. There is nothing more important than hearing the Word of God. Nothing. And he talked about the thorns. And he said that the seed or the Word of God would be planted upon a soul, upon a person's life, upon a person's heart. And he says the thorns would grow up. And it would choke the Word. Choke the Word. And he said in that particular verse, verse 22, he said those things were the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. He said it chokes the Word where it can't help you and have its effect that it needs to have in your life. Folks, we need to focus our attention on Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, turn there just for a few moments. The Bible says in verse 6, to be anxious or careful for nothing. Listen, worry is a sin. If you're a child of God, the promise of God's holy word is that He will take care of you. He'll take care of you. And so we're instructed by Paul under divine inspiration in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things be true, whatsoever things be honest, whatsoever things be just, whatsoever things be pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. We need to focus our attention on Him. And if we will do that, the things of this world, the anxieties and cares of this life will grow dim. My Aunt Gracie, she lived in a little shack over in Franklin, Kentucky, in Simpson County, Kentucky. And the termites were literally destroying her house. I mean, it was like it was falling down around her and she didn't even care. I mean, most of us would be pretty anxious about that. She just knew the Lord was going to provide, and He did. She ended up in a brand new house just a block down the road. And that house just was crumbling around her. The anxieties of this life, of this world, will grow dim if you'll set your eyes on Jesus. Can I get an amen? Now, there are many scriptures that I could go to. But as Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, there was one thing for sure that was occurring. Not only was her soul being satisfied in the sense of being relieved with peace and comfort, but she was being fed. Everybody say being fed. Her soul was being fed. Listen, if your soul is not being fed along the journey of this life, you will spiritually dry up and blow away. You need good preaching, Spirit-filled preaching. You need Spirit-filled singing. You need Spirit-filled church. Amen. And if the Spirit of the Lord is not in your church, you need to go somewhere where you can find one that's Spirit-filled. That's just the way I believe it. Now, you know, it's no wonder that many Christians are so weak and lacking spiritual vitality and spiritual discernment. There's no wonder. They're not getting fed. Their souls are not getting fed. Now, there's many ways that we can sit at the feet of Jesus. It's not just coming and hearing the preacher preach. But you need to pick up, everybody say pick up. You need to pick up the Word of God and study it for yourself. Go to the Word. Go humbly to the Word. Ask God by His Spirit to show you what it says. Go with a willing heart to do what it says, and God will show up in your studies. Amen. He'll show up in your studies, and you will find yourself as you study the Word of God at the feet of Jesus. And your soul will be fed. Your soul will be fed. We need that soul food, don't we? Yeah. Soul food. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, for you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, so you can rightly divide the Word of God. Folks, there's power in the Word of God. There's power. I mean, it'll cut you to the quick. Amen. It is a two-edged sword that will cut to the dividings under of soul and spirit. If you'll go to the Word of God, humbly go to the Word of God, you will eventually find yourself at the feet of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you'll go to the Word of God, you'll get to studying, and time will get away from you. I mean, you won't even realize your kids are misbehaving and acting up. I remember Jerry and I, when our kids were small, we'd get together to study the Word of God, a little house on Groff over near Speedway in Indianapolis, just a little box house, and we only had two little bedrooms, and they were little bedrooms, but Jeremy and Aaron, we'd throw them in a bedroom, we'd shut the door and say, y'all don't come out unless you're bleeding. And then we'd study. And we'd study. I think it got hold of baby powder one time, didn't they, Ange? And got baby powder. They just got the, well, we'll just had baby powder all over that room. But I mean, you know, and even after my kids got bigger, if they wanted to get my attention while I was studying, Tiffany would come up and say, hello, hello, you know, I'm here. I mean, when you're really, y'all know what I'm talking about, when you're studying the Word of God and you feel like you're at the feet of Jesus, can I get amen? Okay? And every Christian needs to do that for themselves. So we're fed at the feet of Jesus. We notice also that we can focus more on what's important, on the priorities of life when we get to the feet of Jesus. You get on a spiritual level where you really don't care about what the house looks like. You don't care what other people are thinking about you. You're worried about absorbing the truth that comes from Jesus Christ. It becomes a priority in your life. Amen? It becomes a priority in your life. Now, I'll just be honest with you. People do what they want to do. And I know that whatever I say up here, it don't matter what I say up here. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. I've learned that. But when you're really sitting at the feet of Jesus, there are things that become a priority in your life. The one thing versus the many things. There's one thing that's really important. Jesus said, she's chosen the one thing. You've chosen the many things. And so it allows you to focus your priorities. And the point that Jesus presses in this reading lesson, the one thing surpasses all the other things. Amen? It's more important than all. Is there one thing that's more important than everything else in your life? Huh? Is there one thing more important? Have you ever sat at the feet of Jesus where one thing is more important than everything else in life? In Psalms 27:4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into His temple. Other things are of little importance compared to the one thing. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of. I try to tell young couples as I sit down to counsel them to marry, if they'll just put Christ first in their life, everything else will fall in place. Okay? It's not that hard. You put the Lord first and make Him Lord of your life and your home, and everything else will fall in place. It's not that hard. So sitting at the feet of Jesus, she found several things. Her soul was fed. Her focus was right on the right priorities. And she also found a sense of fulfillment and contentment. You know, the Bible says that God will give us peace. If you're at the feet of Jesus, I mean, there's peace in the valley. There's peace on the mountain. There's peace in the storm. There's peace like a river. Amen. Isaiah, in his great prophecy, said that Messiah would give us peace like a river. It flows into our life. So at the feet of Jesus, she found a stillness there and a comfort there. Let's look at another passage of Scripture. Let's look in St. John chapter 11. St. John chapter 11. Let's look at verse 32. We know the story about the raising of Lazarus. We know that Jesus waited intentionally for him to die and get to the point where he was stinking. 4 days. When he finally came into Bethany, Martha comes running to him. And you know, like, Jesus, if you'd have been here, if you'd have showed up on time, let me tell you something, God is always on time. Of course, he tells Martha, don't you know I'm the resurrection and life? And Martha says, I know he'll live in the last day. I know he'll be resurrected, but he's dead. He's gone. And in verse 32, it says, when Mary was come where Jesus was, what'd she do? When she saw him, she fell down at his feet. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So what did she find here? Well, we know the stories. Jesus wept. He saw their anxiety and their trouble over the and grief of the loss of this brother. And he went out there where he was buried, and remember what he said? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Amen? Came forth. The Lord, let me just say this. The Lord has an interest in what's going on in your life. He has an interest in what's going on in your life. If you lose a loved one, the Lord has compassion toward you. If you're sick, he's interested in your sickness. If you're having financial trouble or different woes of life, trouble at work, Jesus is interested in your life. He was interested in Mary and Martha's life. Every child of God needs to understand this. Listen to me. If you're a child of God and you've been saved, Jesus cares. He cares for you. He cares for his children. If the devil ever tells you that he doesn't, the devil's a liar. And he is the father of lies. Jesus cares. We know in Hebrews 4 and 15 it tells us that Christ can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have an high priest that we can approach. He cares for us. We can approach him. Jesus is extremely interested in what you're facing in life. Different troubles and trials that you're going through right now. If you feel lonely, Jesus cares. If you feel anxiety or worry, Jesus cares. He cares for us. In Psalms 138 verse 6, it says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. In other words, respect there means he sees. He discerns, he beholds, tells us that the Lord, who is high and lofty, is looking down on your situation and on your circumstance. Folks, we got something to praise the Lord about. He sees your situation. He doesn't miss one single thing that goes on in the life of one of his children. Do I need a proof text? What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 10. He started talking about the sparrows. And he says, you can buy two sparrows for nothing, hardly. They're worthless in the sight of men. For a penny or two, you can buy a sparrow. But he says, the Heavenly Father knows when one of them falls. And he says, aren't you of more value than a sparrow? Isn't that a powerful argument? if the Father is concerned about a sparrow that dies that's worth nothing, aren't you worth more than a sparrow? Jesus cares. The Heavenly Father cares. He goes on and says he cares so much he knows when a hair falls from your head. And some of y'all experienced some of that. He knows. Amen? He knows. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. Nobody else cares how much hair you got. If you lose one, but he knows. He knows. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? The Lord is interest. I want you to look at another verse of Scripture in this 11th chapter of John just for a minute. I want you to look back at verse 28, where it says this, "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, 'The Master is coming and calleth.'" Everybody say, "and calleth." "And calleth for you." He's not only interested in your life, he calls for you to come to him. What did he say in the 11th chapter of Matthew? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." Yeah. His way is easy. His burden is light. Amen. Oh, take it to Jesus. He calls for you to come to him. He invites his children to come unto him and experience his care. Listen, if you're going through a crisis, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, cast all. Everybody say all. All? Does all mean all in Scripture? Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. I believe Psalms 55 and 22, one of my favorite verses, says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." Everybody say, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." And what will he do? Well, you cast your burden upon him, and it says, he will sustain you. He will sustain thee. Of course, T is always singular and Y is always plural, but for these, thous, and yous, and ye's, he will sustain you individually. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Man, that's good. We may stumble a time or two, but we never fall off the rock of ages. Amen. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Mary heard that Jesus was calling, and she ran to meet him. What a lesson. What a glorious lesson for the children of God. In your time of crisis, in the upcoming year, and I know somebody here is going to have a dark day, he calls for you to come to him and let him help you with that. Let him help you with that. He wants to intercede for you. I believe he intercedes on behalf of his people. Mary and Martha experienced an intercession. Jesus went out there and prayed on their behalf. And he intervened in their situation, in their crisis. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus lived. It's at the feet of Jesus we learn the Lord's purpose and we experience his power in our lives. This was a very purpose-filled event. The raising of Lazarus is what stirred up the Pharisees to want to kill him. This was just a few days before Passover. What did it say, 6 days before Passover? And Passover is when he died. You know, this stirred up the multitude. They decided they wanted Jesus dead. If you read the rest of this chapter, they say the whole world's gone after Jesus. We've got to do something. People are believing because they knew that Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and this Jesus just brought him back to life. Bible says a little later in this chapter, they came to Mary and they believed. Bible says that they believed because they saw Lazarus was alive. And man, it stirred up such a ruckus in Bethany and Jerusalem. Even when he got back to Jerusalem, they said, everybody's gone after this Jesus. We've got to stop it. They even put a target on Lazarus and wanted to kill him too. This was the straw that broke the camel's back in them crucifying Jesus Christ. Him helping somebody, one of his friends, raising Lazarus. Well, at the feet of Jesus, we find it a place of stillness. We find it a place of supplication where we can pray. Amen? We can pray. And He hears us. He invites us to come and let our petitions be known unto Him. We can go and tell Him our needs and He will supply those needs. He has the power to supply every need you have. My final point is found in the 12th chapter of John, John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I'm not going to read all 8 verses. But they're there at Bethany. This is the 6 days before the Passover came. They came to Bethany. This is just before His crucifixion. And here was Lazarus that had been dead and had been raised from the dead. Verse 2 says, there they made a supper. Martha served. That's typical of Martha. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. The NIV, of course, they took some liberties in the NIV. They say it was worth a year's wage. This expensive perfume. She broke open the box, a pound of ointment of spikenard. When I was in Israel, I picked up a little bit of spikenard about this big. I tell you, that stuff is strong and it is potent smelling. But she busted a pound on Jesus, anointed His feet, wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the anointment. This is not only a place where we find stillness, a place where we can make supplication, but this is the place of service. A place of service. Where we make sacrifices unto the Lord. I mean, when you go to the feet of Jesus, you go surrendered. Remember what Naomi said to Ruth when Boaz was leaving some of the wheat to grain to glean in the fields? Naomi told Ruth, said, You put on the finest garment, you bathe yourself, you go down there to the threshing floor after he's eaten and drank, you go and you lay down at His feet. And I tell you what, that's what we need to do. We need to lay down at the feet of Jesus in submission to Him. Amen? In surrenderance to Him. We need to give up ourselves unto the Lord. And I think that's what this signifies. Mary was willing to do the work of a common slave. She took that ointment and she put it upon His feet. And she let down her hair. She realized her sinfulness. And she began to wipe His feet with the hair of her head. This was out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. She gave up herself. I believe when you really come to the feet of Jesus, you come surrendered. Willing to sacrifice yourself and submit yourself and give yourself up to the Lord. Well, I believe we can tell when somebody has been sitting at the feet of Jesus. I believe the life of a person reflects that in their walk, in their spiritual discernment, and in their spirituality. You cannot be a Christian if you don't sit at the feet of Jesus in prayer, in the study of His Word, in submission. You got to experience the grace that comes from being there in the presence of the Lord at the very throne of grace. You need to experience for yourself the submission and the sacrifice of serving Him, for He's done more for you than He did for Mary. He has given you eternal life. Lazarus had to die again, but He's given you eternal life. I pray that we would be like those disciples in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, that they could just tell they'd been with Jesus. Well, He'd been dead and resurrected for a long time, but they could tell they'd been with Jesus. And we need to spend more time with Christ. Spend more time at His feet. Spend more time in prayer. Listen to me. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in private meditation. Will you just go somewhere by yourself and you say, Lord, I'm here. I'm just sitting still and listening. You need to turn your cell phone off and your iPad off and your computer off. You need to go somewhere and just spend some time with the Lord. Are you with me? You need to sometimes go there and just express your praise and your appreciation and your adoration. You need to worship Him. Give yourself up and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. I'm convinced of this, and I'll close, that at the feet of Jesus, you find the will of God for your life. Here's this woman. What can a woman do in that day? Every time she's mentioned, she was found at the feet of Jesus. Do you think your life is being recorded? Is God keeping a record of your life? I like to just pass out some paper and say, okay, where have you been during the Wednesday night service? What was more important than the Wednesday night service? Our prayer meeting. Studying God's Word. Things we do to get at the feet of Jesus. I don't need to do that. God is doing that, and He will bring it up at judgment. Do you believe your life's being judged? Certainly is. She found the will of God for her life. This was an expensive sacrifice. A year's wage. Just poured out on the feet of Jesus. Just poured out. You'll find a little later in the few verses there, the disciples were outraged. We can take this money. This is very expensive. We can feed the poor and do this and do that. And Jesus said, no, you leave her alone. She is doing the will of God. This is for my burial. In other words, when they put Him in that tomb, that fragrance was all in that tomb. And I've mentioned this in the past. This is one of my favorite understandings that I've come across in years about this. But we know that He was taken just shortly after that in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He was tried. They spat upon Him. They mocked Him. They beat Him. They tied Him to a post and they whipped His back and His buttocks and His back legs till they were an open wound. But every time they hit Him or beat Him or spit on Him or put a crown of thorns upon His head or nailed His hands and His feet, there was this one aroma that can never be escaped. And that was that spikenard. This one lady's service to the Lord. Doing the will of God. Well, it was for His burial. We know the fragrance was in the tomb, so it was upon Him all along the way. He could smell that. Listen. Let's find more time in the upcoming year at the feet of Jesus. All right? Would you do that? God bless you. Something on your heart.